I'm Peter Solomon. This is The Morning Show on 88.5 Minnesota's Jazz Station. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with a great musician out of New Orleans named Tom McDermott. He is coming to the Twin Cities. He's playing a benefit concert at Judson Church on Harriet Avenue. It's coming up Monday, July 20th at 7. It is a benefit for the Legal Rights Center in Minneapolis. And I thought it would be fun to talk to Tom, to talk a little bit about his really interesting career playing a lot of traditional jazz and ragtime and New Orleans roots music. So welcome, Tom. And I want to ask you to begin with your beginning in music. So I know that you come from St. Louis, and that's a city that factors really prominently in the history of ragtime. How did you get exposed to ragtime and early jazz?
Well, there were the Joshua Rifkin recordings beginning in 1970. That was very important. I heard them when I was about 13 or 14. And also in St. Louis at that time in the 70s, there were two ragtime festivals every year. There was also the ragtime historian, a fellow named Tribber Tischner, who had thousands of piano rolls and sheet music galore and just knew everything about rag and wrote a couple books. And I learned a lot from him. So it was just all these things coming together that made me a ragtime kid.
When did you decide to become a professional musician?
Well, it's funny. I began playing at Shakey's Pizza when I was 16, I believe. And at the time, it paid $5.15 an hour. Minimum wage was $1.45 an hour back then. Hasn't gone up that much. I was thrilled to have it. But oddly enough, I wanted to be a music journalist for a long time. Up until, say, age 23, 24, I was the rock and jazz critic for the morning paper in St. Louis, the Globe Democrat, but that paper ended up folding. So I was gradually dissuaded from being a critic. I still write occasionally, but not very often. There really just no outlets for me. It's a good thing, though, because I believe in karma, and I don't want to criticize other musicians ever. So,
after you got out of grad school, you made a decision to move to New Orleans. This was in the early 1980s. Can you talk about your first impressions of that city?
Yes, my first visit was 79. I didn't get to hear Professor Longhair, or James Booker at that time, who would factor into my musical life, especially Booker later on. I just didn't know anything. You know, I was, 22? I just didn't know. I made several trips over the years just to check it out. It was within driving distance of New Orleans, and I had people to stay with. In 84, I made the decision to move. The newspaper job had ended. A girlfriend kind of kicked me out of the house that I'd found for us. And I had a gig at the 1984 World's Fair in New Orleans, amazingly enough. I had a connection. I had met pianists down there who said, sure, there's work. So I was all set to go. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I think it was meant to happen.
So, I mean, obviously, New Orleans has changed profoundly since Hurricane Katrina, but what were the differences in the New Orleans of the 1980s as you experienced it from, say, today?
Well, there's tons of great musicians here still, but the giants, Dr. John, the Neville brothers, well, there's two Nevilles left, but the Neville brothers themselves are gone, Henry Butler, a lot of the greats who had a recording career, a national recording career, are gone. And it's harder to get national airplay now. New Orleans musicians are making it on the road because the brand is very strong and people are still coming here, of course, to hear traditional jazz and funk and R&B and all that. There's gobs of great musicians here, not enough gigs for them, but they get by. And, you know, maybe they go on the road if they have to.
Palm coat strut, swing your butt. Do the palm coat strut, swing your butt. Swing it to the left, swing it to the left.
You worked a bit with Danny Barker. I was wondering if you could talk about that relationship and what you what you learned from him.
Well, yes. I played with a band called the Dukes of Dixieland for 8 years. And at one point, we decided to do a tribute to Jelly Roll Morton album because we knew Danny Barker would sign on to that. Danny, if you don't know, was a grew up in New Orleans, knew Jelly Roll, knew all the old cats, and then moved to New York City and had a long career with Cab Calloway and many other people. Then moved back to New Orleans, I think in the 60s, saw that the New Orleans brass band tradition was dying out, and single-handedly revived that tradition. And this led to the Dirty Dozen, the Rebirth, and a brass band that I started called the New Orleans Nightcrawlers. And now, I mean, there must be 25, 30 brass bands out there making a living. It's pretty great.
So you mentioned the Nightcrawlers. Can you talk about what makes that band distinctive?
Well, they are a reading band initially, but the Crawlers had very seasoned musicians, a guy named Eric Traub, who played with the Maynard Ferguson band for many years, and others who've gone on to play with national acts. So very, very good musicians. We signed on to Rounder Records, put out a couple records that didn't do that well, but I still love them, and eventually won a Grammy about 3 years ago. They're set in stone in New Orleans musical history. They have, I think, 6 CDs out, and 50 years from now, I'm confident if planet Earth is still around, that people will be listening to the Crawlers.
So another, I would say, fundamental element in New Orleans musical history is Louis Moreau Gottschalk, the 19th century pianist and composer. I understand you've dedicated a lot of your career to playing his music. You've got at least one entire record, Bambula, dedicated to Gottschalk. Can you talk about who he is and why you find his music important and inspiring?
Sure. No, Gottschalk was the first great New Orleans musician that we know of. There may have been others, but they didn't write down their music. Of course, there are no recordings. Gottschalk certainly was the first American musician to combine European harmony structure with Afro-Cuban rhythms. Like the Tresillo, bom, 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 or the habanera, bum ba dum bum bum ba dum bum bum, or the cinquillo, bum ba dum ba dum bum ba dum ba dum bum ba dum. And these rhythms are all in Gottschalk's publications beginning in the 1840s. He was wildly popular in his time, tragically died at age 40, just as he was hanging out in Brazil. And it's fascinating to think what Brazil would have done to Gottschalk if he would have written choro music, for instance, which is just beginning right after he died in the 1870s. He died in 1869.
What can someone expect if they come to hear you playing at Judson Church next week?
First of all, I'm going to accompany a Buster Keaton silent movie. The man who brought me, is bringing me up there, is Michael Tisserin, and he's a huge fan of silent movies. He's seen me do this at my regular gig on Thursdays in New Orleans, and he loves it, and I love doing it too. I call it his second best short movie. That is about 22 minutes, called Cops. If you've never experienced that, which most people haven't, I highly recommend that. Now that is just 22 minutes. I will also be playing perhaps a short history of New Orleans piano with at least the pieces that have African roots, Afro-Cuban roots, like Gottschalk, like Jelly Roll Morton. Professor Longhair. And then I would like to play a lot of originals too. That's been my thing lately I've recorded 90 original pieces and I've got about 30 of them worked up and it's gone over very well. That's a summary of the show.
Is there anything else you want to say in advance of your appearance next Monday?
Expect the unexpected. I find music that people don't know, and hopefully they will like.
Tom McDermott is playing a benefit concert at Judson Church. It's a rare opportunity to hear him here in the Twin Cities. That's on Harriet Avenue. It's happening July 20th at 7 o'clock. The concert is a benefit for the Legal Rights Center in Minneapolis. It's a free event. Donations will be accepted. Tom, thank you so much for speaking with me this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for your hard work and helping to promote this.